One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Welcome to the Paranormal Deep Dive from Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks.
They say some ghosts don't haunt out of anger, but out of love. In the heart of San Francisco's Pacific Heights, there's a hotel that looks like it came straight out of a Victorian painting. Ornate, romantic, maybe even a little too perfect. But inside the Queen Anne Hotel, it's not just the creaky floors or flickering lights that stir the senses. It's something else, something or someone that's been watching over the guests for more than a century. Originally built as a finishing school for young women, the Queen Anne was home to a headmistress named Miss Mary Lake. She was stern, she was elegant, and if the stories are true, she never left. Room 410, her former office, has become the center of strange, gentle disturbances. Guests say they've been tucked into bed by unseen hands. Their luggage mysteriously unpacked, a comforting presence watching just beyond the veil. No slamming doors, no screams, just the feeling that someone is looking out for you from the other side. Is it the caring ghost of Miss Lake, or something more psychological, primed by history, setting, and suggestion? Tonight, we dig into the echoes of a forgotten school, the woman who ran it, and the hotel that refuses to be quiet. I'm Tony Bruschi. Let's dig in. In the closing decade of the 19th century, San Francisco was a city blooming with opportunity and opulence. The gold rush had transformed this fog-laced port into a cultural beacon of the American West. Among its ornate neighborhoods, the affluent Pacific Heights stood proud, a hillside sanctuary for the elite. It was here in 1890 that the Queen Anne Hotel was born. Not as a hotel, but as an institution for shaping the minds and manners of young women. Commissioned by the wealthy and enigmatic Senator James G. Fair, the building was intended to be a finishing school, the Mary Lake School for Girls. Fair, a silver magnate and one of the infamous Silver Kings of Nevada's Comstock Lode, had his own complex legacy, marred by scandal and whispers of corruption, but his gift to San Francisco took on a different tone. This school would prepare the daughters of wealthy families for refined society. The structure was grand, a four-story Victorian mansion with redwood paneling, bay windows, and intricate crown moldings, a true Queen Anne-style triumph. At the helm was Miss Mary Lake, the headmistress for whom the school was named. Little is recorded about her personal life, but what does exist paints the portrait of a meticulous and disciplined woman. She was reportedly unmarried, highly educated, and deeply committed to her students. Some former pupils described her as maternal, others found her intimidating. Whatever her temperament, her identity became inseparable from the building itself. But the school's story was brief. By the mid-1890s, the Mary Lake School for Girls had shut its doors. The reasons remain speculative, perhaps financial instability, perhaps a dwindling enrollment. Some say the rigorous standards made the institution unwelcoming to families who preferred a more socially driven curriculum for their daughters. Others suspect mismanagement or a lack of long-term planning. Regardless, the Grand Victorian stood empty for years, occasionally changing hands, sometimes repurposed, but never quite settling into a new rhythm. And then it became a hotel. By the mid-20th century, the building was converted into a boutique inn. Care was taken to preserve its character. Antique furniture, rich velvet drapes, and clawfoot bathtubs filled the rooms. The ambiance was less corporate lodging and more Victorian time capsule. It was during this time that the first murmurs of something strange began to surface. Guests began reporting odd phenomena, always centered on room 410. The reports weren't horrifying. There were no claims of screaming, apparitions, or objects flying across rooms. Instead, they were gentle. A woman staying in room 410 claimed she woke to find her bed neatly tucked in around her, despite remembering she'd left it messy. Another returned from breakfast to find her suitcase neatly unpacked, her clothes hung and folded, though she had explicitly left the "Do Not Disturb" sign on the door. Yet another said she awoke in the night with a feeling of someone smoothing the covers over her feet. These events were described not with fear, but awe. "It felt like a mother," one guest wrote in a travel journal later shared with the hotel. "I can't explain it, but it felt like someone who wanted me to be comfortable." For those who worked at the hotel, the phenomenon became a quiet curiosity. Some staff dismissed it entirely as the power of suggestion. After all, the room had history. Guests knew it had belonged to Miss Mary Lake, didn't they? And here's where the story gets even more interesting. Despite the lingering fascination with Miss Lake, very little verifiable information exists about her beyond her brief time at the school. There are no surviving portraits, no death records easily traceable to her name in the area, and few personal accounts. It's almost as if her story ended the moment the school did. Some paranormal investigators suggest that this lack of closure might be why her spirit remains. Others point to the possibility that her name and role have been romanticized into legend, an amalgamation of rumor, nostalgia, and the Victorian love of the supernatural. Of course, not everyone buys into the ghost theory, and psychologists have long noted how certain environmental conditions can prime a person to perceive paranormal experiences. The Queen Anne Hotel is a perfect example. It's filled with antique mirrors, creaky floorboards, and winding staircases that lead to rooms with brocade wallpaper and high ceilings. For the modern traveler, this isn't just charming, it's suggestive. When you walk into a place like the Queen Anne, your brain is already working against the logic of the present. You're stepping back in time. Your expectations shift. Sleep researcher Dr. Barry Krakow has written about hypnopompic hallucinations, visual or sensory hallucinations that occur as someone is waking up. These episodes can feel incredibly real. The sensation of being touched, tucked in, or having someone in the room, when combined with jet lag, stress, or unusual surroundings, the human brain can misinterpret benign stimuli like shifting bed sheets or a draft of cold air as something more sentient. Others point to the building's structure and San Francisco's climate. The Queen Anne was constructed from wood and stone, and the fourth floor is particularly susceptible to temperature fluctuations. Room 410 sits directly beneath a corner gable that catches wind from multiple angles. Guests unfamiliar with the city's famous microclimates often find themselves chilled at night, even in summer. The shifting of the wood, sudden drafts, and creaks can all simulate the feeling of movement or presence. Add in an old radiator humming in the corner and a shadow dancing on wallpaper, and you have all the ingredients for a classic haunting. No ghosts required. Still, explanations haven't dampened the intrigue. Even skeptical guests report leaving room 410 with an uncanny feeling, like they've shared space with something that wasn't quite there, but wasn't entirely gone either. Hotel management, for its part, has leaned into the story. The front desk has a log of unusual guest encounters, mostly anecdotal, but still maintained out of tradition. While they don't market the hotel as haunted in the same theatrical way some destinations do, they don't shy away from the legend either. In fact, many visitors now request room 410 specifically, hoping to feel whatever it is others have felt. But that early period of encounters, those first few decades of whispers and mild phenomena, was only the beginning. As the Queen Anne's reputation grew, the encounters would become more frequent, more specific, and for some, more profound. What started as a curious bedtime mystery would evolve into something even seasoned paranormal investigators couldn't fully explain. As the 21st century approached, the Queen Anne Hotel found itself woven into the cultural fabric of San Francisco, celebrated not only for its architecture and charm, but for something less tangible. The stories emerging from Room 410 had transformed a curious footnote in the hotel's history into a full-blown legend. Paranormal researchers, ghost tour operators, and intrigued travelers began making the Queen Anne a destination, not in spite of the haunting, but because of it. With the rise of paranormal media, the Queen Anne was featured in travel books and ghost hunting guidebooks such as Haunted Hotels and Ghost Hunter's Guide to San Francisco. Some writers stayed overnight to document their own experiences. One author reported that while journaling late into the night, she felt the unmistakable weight of a hand resting lightly on her shoulder. When she turned around, no one was there. She finished the entry by writing, "She just wanted to see what I was writing." As more visitors came seeking contact, the patterns grew clearer. Many of the encounters shared similar traits: a maternal presence, gentle interactions, and a comforting atmosphere. Some guests even claimed that the room seemed to sense when they were emotionally distressed. One woman, grieving the recent loss of her mother, described how she felt suddenly and inexplicably embraced by warmth as she sat weeping on the bed. "I felt hugged," she said later. "There's no other word for it." Skeptics might write that off as grief-induced hallucination. But what caught the attention of seasoned investigators was the consistency of the claims reported by people of different ages, backgrounds, and belief systems, often without prior knowledge of the room's reputation. That kind of psychological priming is harder to explain when someone hasn't been told what to expect. Hotel staff, for the most part, were quiet about their own experiences until they weren't. In interviews with travel writers and podcast hosts, former employees began to share stories that added new weight to the Queen Anne's reputation. One night, manager described hearing slow footsteps coming down the hallway when the floor was otherwise unoccupied. When he stepped out to check, the steps abruptly stopped. He returned to the desk, and the footsteps resumed, this time walking away. Another housekeeper reported entering room 410 to clean, only to find the bed perfectly made and the windows open just a few inches, letting in the breeze. She said it felt like the room knew someone was coming. Other staff mentioned small objects moving without explanation and doors that seemed to unlock themselves. But again, unlike the chaotic accounts tied to poltergeist activity or vengeful spirits, these interactions carried a different tone. There was no aggression, no fear, just a steady presence, predictable, gentle, persistent. It was during this time that paranormal researchers began debating the nature of the Queen Anne's ghost. Was this a classic case of a residual haunting, where emotional energy is imprinted into a location and replays like a loop? Or was it something else? Something intelligent? Something aware? The argument for a residual haunting has its merits. The repeated tucking in behavior, the unpacking of luggage, and the frequent presence felt during times of emotional vulnerability suggest a pattern. Residual hauntings, by their very nature, don't respond or change. They're atmospheric recordings, but multiple investigators noted something more complex at the Queen Anne. The ghost didn't just perform a set of actions. It seemed to act with intent. One investigator conducting an overnight study in room 410 with EMF detectors and motion-activated cameras reported a spike in electromagnetic activity that correlated with a change in emotional tone. The guest staying that night had broken down crying during a phone call. The equipment lit up. It's like something woke up to comfort her, the investigator claimed. No hard evidence of a presence was recorded, but the timing was suspicious enough to spark debate. Others argue the experiences are shaped more by setting and suggestion than the supernatural. The Queen Anne's ambiance is theatrical. With its high ceilings, ornamental woodwork, and antique chandeliers, the building is essentially a living museum. It invites fantasy. It invites ghosts. In that sense, perhaps the haunting exists in the minds of the guests, not as deception, but as a psychological experience born of expectation and suggestibility. But then, there are the stories that go further. One couple checking into room 410 for their honeymoon claimed they were woken in the middle of the night by the sensation of someone brushing the bride's hair. They had never heard of the haunting before arriving and were confused until the front desk mentioned it the next morning after the couple inquired about the history of their room. Another solo traveler, unaware of room 410's reputation, complained that someone had entered her room at night. She said she awoke feeling the bed dip beside her and a gentle pressure against her side. She assumed it was a staff error until she was told there were no extra keys issued for that night. The security footage showed no one entering or leaving her room. Shaken but unharmed, she checked out early. If these reports are accurate, they defy the rules of residual hauntings. The spirit would have to be interacting, reacting, choosing. And yet no guest has ever reported a malevolent experience. Even those disturbed by a nighttime visit acknowledge that it didn't feel threatening, just unexpected. In some ways, that makes it even stranger. Why would a spirit linger for decades not to frighten but to care? Some believe Mary Lake never left because she was never at peace with her school's closure, that she remains bound to room 410 out of a sense of duty. The school was her life's work. If the theory of unfinished business applies anywhere, it applies here. Others, though, wonder if the spirit is not Mary Lake at all, given the lack of definitive historical records linking her to the room. It's possible the identity has been retrofitted onto the legend. The Queen Anne is over 130 years old. In that time, countless guests and residents have come and gone. Any of them, caretakers, housekeepers, even forgotten guests, could be the true source of the phenomenon. Today, room 410 remains the most requested room in the hotel. Guests request it months in advance. Some bring flowers or notes, hoping to make contact. Others come seeking closure or comfort, often for reasons they can't fully explain. The hotel honors these wishes, offering the room without embellishment. There are no gimmicks, no ghost-shaped chocolates on the pillow, just the space and the story. And what a story it is, and not of horror, not of tragedy, but of devotion. Whether born of lingering energy, psychological projection, or something else entirely, the Queen Anne Hotel continues to serve a deeper role than most places of lodging. It comforts the lonely. It intrigues the skeptic. It invites wonder in a world that often forgets how to wonder. And it does it all through the simple act of making someone feel seen. And sometimes tucked in. It's easy to think of ghosts as angry, slamming doors, blood-curdling screams, vengeful spirits shaking bedposts at 3 a.m., but what if that's just one end of the spectrum? What if sometimes the things that linger aren't here to haunt, but to help? The Queen Anne Hotel challenges everything we think we know about ghost stories. There are no horror movie tropes here, no tortured wails in the night or demonic possession, just soft hands, warm presence, and yes, perfectly folded shirts. Room 410 has been the site of decades of gentle disturbances that, if you believe the accounts, can only be described as kind. The kind of thing a loving schoolmistress might do for a favorite student, or a mother might do when the world outside is too much. But that's the thing about ghosts. We never really know what we're dealing with. Our minds fill in gaps. Our memories betray us. Maybe it's all suggestive architecture and late-night creaks. Maybe it's San Francisco's notorious microclimates making floors shift and beds feel oddly warm. Or maybe it's the comfort we're all still seeking, long after childhood ends. And what about Miss Mary Lake? Is she really the one responsible for the soft-spoken caretaking in room 410? Or have we just written her into a role we need her to play, headmistress turned guardian ghost, watching over us long after the class has been dismissed? That's the eerie beauty of the Queen Anne Hotel. Whether you believe in spirits or just the power of a really compelling story, the feeling sticks with you. Maybe it's just the ambience, maybe it's electromagnetic energy, or maybe it's the gentle reminder that not all hauntings are warnings. Some are invitations to rest, to remember, to feel something again. So the next time you check in and hear an extra footstep, don't panic. She might just be fluffing your pillow. I'm Tony Bruschi. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any episodes and so you can join us again for another Paranormal Deep Dive.
Want to dig deeper in the Paranormal Deep Dive? Press subscribe now wherever you download podcasts and catch brand new Paranormal Deep Dives every single day from Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks podcast.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.